Hi, everybody, and welcome to True Vision Christian Community, the Before We Let Open the Doors edition. I'm Bishop Castle Green, and I am the lead pastor here at TVCC, and I am just excited that we get together today. I was going to sing, but you know what? We got into some good pre-service conversation. But so we're just going to go ahead and dig into this word. All right, look, I already warned the church. Buckle your seatbelt. It's going to get good. Because again, we're working on changing the culture. We're building a new foundation, building new foundations, and shoring up some things. So I'm about to go there. We gonna go there. Can we go? We gonna go there. We gonna go there today. All right. So family. So if I were you, I would be taking notes too. I grab your Bible, grab your tablet, take some notes. Because we're about to lead in. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for gathering us together. Lord, we know that your word says where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you will be in the midst. Lord God, thank you that you're in the midst of us. Lord, as I dig into the revelation that you've spoken to me today, Lord God, I pray that you speak to those who are hearing the word and let it sink in, Lord God, that they actually hear what is being said and hear the heart behind it rather than getting on mad. So, Lord, we just give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is It's Enough. It's Enough. All right. So I think we're going to go ahead and just start on 10 this morning. There's a concept in the Bible that we need to clarify. And the concept is love the person, hate the sin. Are y'all braced? Are you buckled in? Are you braced? Are you prepared? Are you ready? You ready? You ready? You won't love me for this. It's not, but that concept is not biblical. It's not. There's nowhere in the Bible that says love the person, hate the sin. Nowhere. We don't even know who said it. I was actually making sure that the revelation that God was giving me made sense. So the reason why I'm just starting there is because it is that statement by itself is a cop-out from what we're supposed to do as Christians. It's a cop-out. I don't have to deal with you. I don't have to engage with you. I don't have to make sure that your soul is right if I just treat you halfway. Amen. And part of the reason why the world does not want to engage with the church is because there is an inauthenticity in what we do, because we have literally made something doctrine which is nowhere in scripture. I don't care how you try to flip it, how you try to shake it, how you try to spin it. It ain't there. So one of the things that God really has been impressing upon me with this church, and I'm going to take my time. That's why I ain't doing praise worship. I'm going to take my sweet time today. One of the things that God has really been impressing upon me with this church is that we become a space of grace. So for that to happen, there has to be undoing. And that's the very first thing that has to be undone. So I'm going to say it again for those of you who missed it. Love the person, hate the sin is not biblical. It is not in the word. Quit saying it. Quit using it. It ain't there. Amen. Amen. I told y'all buckle your seatbelt, but we're going to talk about the concept of grace. So if you have your Bible, your Bible, or your Bible, go with me to 2 Corinthians 12:1-10. Not 12, sorry. Yep, 2 Corinthians 12:1. I read it too fast. 2 Corinthians 12:1-10. I'm about to get some emails. All right, scripture says this, reading from the Christian Standard. Boasting is necessary, for it is not profitable, but I will move on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. I know that this man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a human being is not allowed to speak. I will boast about this person, but not about myself, except of my weakness. For if I want to boast, I wouldn't be a fool, because I would be telling the truth. But I will spare you, so that no one can credit me with something beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insults and hardships, persecutions, and in difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's focus on those last two scriptures, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weakness, insults and hardships, persecutions and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So grace in the Greek is charis. And the definition of this is goodwill, loving kindness, favor. Goodwill, loving kindness, favor. Specifically of the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise of the Christian virtues. That, and I could have just like read that scripture and just be like, okay, good night, everybody. Nope. But the concept of grace, that definition is what's missing. That when you're expected to show grace to people, it's literally you're expected to show the same mercy that you want God to give you, which we'll talk about a little bit later, to someone else. It's walking in true agape love, true sacrificial love, just as Jesus did. But here's the difficult thing that people don't like. It takes a lot of labor. Paul himself, this is the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament, really saying, hey, I was dealing with something. I kept asking God to take this thing from me. And God was like, my grace, my loving kindness, my goodwill is sufficient for you. It's enough. But has happened is we have become like so many, the opposite of the scripture, where we boast about, God favors me. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. You have all these things, but yet you refuse to address the very thing that you're dealing with, Joseph. But yet when you have a moment, you want everybody to come on over and help you because you don't fall and they can't get up. When you're dealing with something, when you're dealing with something, when you're going through something, rather than seek the body of Christ, the Bible instructs us to confess our sins one to another. Because in our confession brings healing. But knowing how we act in the church, how we act in the body of Christ, rather than us do the right thing, I've always said this, and it is so true, that Christians are the first to eat their weak and their young. Because there is an unwillingness to show and extend grace. I bet y'all weren't expecting this message today. I told y'all we're going deep because I'm building to something. We have to understand grace and mercy are either earned or deserved. They are freely given by God. Grace is God's loving kindness that gives us the ability and the strength to live for him. Mercy is you did it. You should have got beat for it, but I'm holding back the punishment to give you. And the point of both is to give you the opportunity to get it right. So let me make something clear. Romans 6, 1 through 5. Romans 6, 1 through 5. Hi, online family. How you doing? My computer's over here so I can see. Hi, online family. Romans 6, 1 through 5 says this. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. The King James says, God forbid. How can we who died in sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So let's talk about this. Because we don't understand grace, we have used the concept of grace as a get out of jail free card to do what we want because we are under the, oh, we're under the blood. So if we do something, we can just get, this popped in my head on the way here. Actions become habits. Habits become your nature. Nature becomes your character. I'm going to say that again for my note taking people.
Hi, Lucky.
Actions become habits. Habits become your nature. Your nature becomes your character. So we have misused, misunderstood grace as this get out of jail free. I can do what I want because I'm covered by the blood. And that's not how this works. Grace gives you a moment to go, okay, I repent. Because it goes back to having that conviction of faith of going, okay, I know God's not pleased with this. I need to deal with this. Grace does not permit bad behavior. Grace does not permit sinfulness. Sinning literally means to miss the mark. It gives you a chance to heal. It gives you a chance to deal with it. It gives you a chance to have that conversation and that depth of relationship with God so that way you are able to move forward. For me, and Candy gonna laugh, we are just finishing spring break. Last week, the week before, when it was week 8, I had a lot of people showing up at my door that I have never spoken to before. I've seen them once a week for 8 weeks, minimum, knocking on my door, getting emails. There was one young man who came to my door and we began to talk and I began to sense, we were talking, there's two different stories. First one, he came to my door, he began to talk to me and I said, you know what? Bing, bang, boom. Knock this stuff out, get it done during break. Why? You need this. You need this space to breathe. It's not like you said, I didn't want to do the work. It's not like you said, you want to do right. You want to get this work done, but it is hard for you because you're trying to break a habit. So let me give you this time to get this done. Another young man started talking to me on the video chat, and the first thing I said to him was, how are you doing? And in his own way, very stoic kid, ain't cry, he just broke and began to talk to me about everything that was going on. And I said to him, let me show you grace. Yes, you didn't get work done. Okay, we know that. But let me show you grace to give you an opportunity to get that right. That is how God is with us. We have fallen. We have made mistakes. Things have happened. But God gives us the space to heal, the space to grow, the space to develop. And we as believers are designed to facilitate God's will concerning that person. And ultimately, it is that person's choice to walk in God's grace or not. So we make this clear. This doesn't permit sin. Grace does not permit sinful behavior. It gives an opportunity. But the Bible says that God will always give us a way of escape. It gives people an opportunity to escape. And escape might not be instantaneous. It might take a few years. Give them time. So ultimately, it is the responsibility of the believer to extend the same grace to others they want for themselves. Whoop. You had to take a sip on that one. It is the, I'm going to say this again, it is the responsibility of the believer to extend the same grace to others they want for themselves. AKA, you cannot be judgy, but judgerson. Here's what grace is. First, grace is restorative. Galatians 6, 1 through 5 says this. There's a lot of 6, 1 through 5 happening in this message today. Don't know why. Just kind of happened. Galatians 6, 1 through 5 says this. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone considers himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each person examine his own work, and then he can take pride in himself alone and not compare himself with someone else. For each person will have to carry his own load. It is the job of the believer, if you see someone going through something, rather than kicking them while they're down, amen, Walls. rather than talking about them like a dog, rather than having whole Instagrams and Snapchats and TikToks talking around that person, reach down, pull them up, dust them off, help heal their injury, help deal with the issue, minister to them, so that way they are able to eventually run. I've never shared this story. I'm going to share it kind of vague terms, but I've never really gotten to the story in depth. There's a situation that happened right after I graduated from with my MFA that, for lack of a better word, didn't end well. I wasn't directly involved, but someone who I was very close to at the time was. I got wind of everything that happened. So rather than fall into what happened to the succubus of what happened, I made a phone call. I called my friend and I said, "What did you do?" He talked to me. And I said, after I let him have it for about 15 minutes, I said, let me restore you. He was like, "What?" I'm like, "I'm not going to sit here and kick you while you're down. Let me build you back up." Now this man is thriving, doing great things. He's been a huge help to me outside of everything. Huge help to me. Because I was one of the few people who was willing to be restorative. I'm not going to excuse your actions at all. What you did was heinous. What was you're accused of was heinous. What matters is that did you learn from it? Let's move forward. When is the last time you looked at somebody and said, "Let's move forward. Let me build you back up"? That's the job of the, but your true vision is called to be an equipping church, right? We talk, "Oh, we are equipping the saints," but a part of equipping is failure. You're going to have to bump your head. Some things ain't going to work. But as the person who teaches, it is not my job to kick you while you're down. It's my job to pull you up, dust you off, bandage you a little bit. So what did we learn? Theo has been learning the concept of natural consequences. He'll get hurt or something happens that he wasn't supposed to do. And I just look at him and go, "Natural consequences," and I just walk away. Me getting mad and upset and out of the fusel file, there's nothing. Natural consequences. It teaches him, don't do that. Without me having to go, "What? Don't do that." Plus, it saves a lot of emotional energy. We have to be willing to be restorative. The church is not about, "I can't believe you." That's why the Bible preaches again, tells us to not gossip, not talk about folk. Restore. Grace, is the embodiment of forgiveness. Grace is the embodiment of forgiveness. I want to post these notes to the website so bad. That might happen. You want to hand this to some people. But like, here, just read this. God bless you. Just walk away. see, this is why we vibe. This is why we vibe. Grace is the embodiment of forgiveness. Colossians 3:12-14. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving for the people in the digital back, one another, if anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. If you sit around here holding grudges to everybody, there's no way you can show grace, because all your eyes see is retribution, not redemption. If all you do, if they hurt you 20 years ago, if they live in their best life, they hope you don't want to hold yourself back from the promises of God. It is 2023. Let it go in the name of Jesus. But let it go. I don't care if you need to make an ice palace for one. Let it go. Ice palace for one. Ice palace for one. you have to forgive. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God for Jesus' sake has forgiven you. Part of the reason why it's hard for so many Christians to show grace is that they don't forgive folks. And then if you embody the very thing that calls them that walk in unforgiveness, it just causes a whole thing. Honey, listen, if you're walking around in unforgiveness, I'm going to need you to go hit some form of an altar somewhere. Okay, if you listen to the radio right now, catch up with the podcast, go pray about it. Because you cannot show grace if you cannot forgive. And if you cannot forgive, yes, God forgives sin, but God's going to look at you and be like, if you want me to forgive you, why can't you forgive other people? It is the responsibility of the believer to extend the same grace to others they want for themselves. Speaking of that, the three-word version of what I just said is grace is reciprocal. Reciprocity. I give, you receive, you give, I receive. It is a cycle. Luke 6:27-36. How y'all doing? Y'all doing good? Luke 6:27-36. Ooh, you really taking notes. You're like, I'm about to send this to folk today. I know. All right, Luke 6:27-36. But I say to you who listen, love your enemies. Love them. Love your enemies. I ain't said God said it. Love your enemies. Actually, Jesus, this is what Jesus said this. It will be in red. Love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. And if anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks you, and for someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. But wait, there's more. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, but to be repaid in full. but love your enemies. Do what is good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. I ain't say it. Luke saw Jesus say this, and he wrote it down. This is not from the book of Cast. This is from the Word. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. Here's the thing. So let's talk about verse 29 real quick. If anyone hits you in the cheek, offer the other also. So if someone slaps you. So turning the other cheek is not walking away. You know that? Turning the cheek ain't walking away. When you turn the other cheek, what happens, according to the law that was governing all this, so the first hit, okay, that's a freebie. If you get hit again and you did not respond, they're the ones in trouble. Whoop! You're like, dang. I know. Look. We are from the east side of heaven, so I get it. If you want someone to show grace, you have to be willing to extend it. The godly thing is, remember, walk it, for he is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. We are supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's reciprocal. I cannot, and even with me as an educator, I cannot say, oh, there's no grace for you, when there's grace, a lot of grace extended to me. It's reciprocal. It's not just paying it forward, it's paying it around. But because of our holiness and our religiosity, sit on a pedestal and show no grace, no mercy to others, but want everybody to cow and bow down to us. No grace. No. We'll not take responsibility for your actions. We're not. You know. They just gonna have to be offended. Yes, I know the truth is offensive, but grace is scandalous. You have to be willing to extend the same grace. Extend it. Give it freely. You might not get it. It might not come back with return, but as long as you're extending it as a child of God, it will come back. It might even come back from that same person. It might come from another direction. Y'all doing good? We going deep. Grace shows respect and consideration for others. This is about to be fun. 1 Peter 2:11-17. This is about to be fun. Y'all pray my strength of the Lord. Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. Submit to every human authority, because of the Lord, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors as those who sent out by him to punish those who do what is evil and to praise those who do what is good. For it is God's will that you silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing good. Submit as free people, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Submit as free people, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but as God's slaves. Honor everyone, love the brothers and sisters, fear God, honor the emperor. Again, I didn't say it. I ain't say this. This is not from the New Cast version. This is directly from the Word. Even Buckle your seatbelts for this, y'all. Online, braced. Are y'all braced? Okay, I'm braced. Okay, listen. There's a lot happening in culture right now. A lot of things going on. The world has changed drastically in the past 10 years, let alone 2 years. However, if you cannot treat people with loving kindness, even if you don't get it, if you cannot treat people with loving kindness, even if you don't get it, that is a problem. Even though you don't get it, even though you might not like it, we are still called to show love and respect because that is the greatest witness. Can I call a spade, thing a thing? And an ace? And even a club, we'll call everything and everything. Listen, you might not understand what's happening, particularly with gender identity. But it is not godly for you to disrespect somebody because you don't understand them. You might not understand what's happening in music, but it is not godly for you to disrespect somebody if you don't understand them. It's in the scripture. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits. But they cannot give glory to a God that has been told and hates them. Because whether you like it or not, they are still formed in the image and likeness of God. Grace is, as I said earlier, grace is a process. Grace takes time. Healing is a process. Everything takes time. And ultimately, no matter what happens to them, it is still our job to love them as God has loved them. I think I just lost some folk on that one. I think I lost about 5-6 people on that. This is what the word says. This is what the Bible says. And it's funny, people pull the scripture, have been pulling the scripture out to support hate, to not have to take the opportunity to understand the needs of other cultures and other people groups, to not understand the plight of the poor. You just need to obey the government. You are held to the same standard. This is not the opinion of Cass. This is what the word of God says. We can't skip this part. You might not get it. You might not understand it. You might not like it. Yes, it might be sinful, but you love them. And that's because of your love, and you love them as God loves them, there will be a change. There will be a healing. Regardless of whatever it is. But if you can't get over how somebody looks to you, that's a you problem. And you need to take that to the altar because you are harboring hatred and unforgiveness in your heart. You need to deal with it. Again, I'm not saying anything that the word of God has not said, because we're going to get to that scripture in a second. Show respect. Look, my mama always told me, if you can't say nothing nice, what? Don't say nothing at all. Don't say it. If you can't say nothing nice, hush mouth grace is a beautiful thing. If you can't say nothing nice, if you can't love somebody as God loves them, if you can't love the people of God as God has loved the church, if you can't intercede or pray on somebody's behalf with a loving and gentle heart, quit praying soul force prayers and cursing folk, because that's going to come back on you. If you cannot do that, how can you call yourself a Christian? That is no grace. That is you not showing any grace. The church is a hospital for the broken, and each every one of us broke. I don't care if you're the grand high exalter on the east side of the congregation. I don't care if you're the archbishop of the archbishops. I don't care. Look, I got a whole title of bishop, but I am still a human, and I still make mistakes, and I still need grace shown and extended towards me. But thanks be unto God that I understand that for grace to be extended towards me, I must show it. And if I don't understand something, if I don't get something, rather than bashing it, learn what it is and then love them through it. Well, bishop, what was the second point of this message? Grace does not permit sin, but it provides a way for escape. Let the church say yes. Grace exemplifies our walk with God by acting like Him. Grace, I'm going to say it again. How y'all doing? Look, Dawn preaching in preaching in the chat. Preach, girl. Grace exemplifies our walk with God by acting like Him. Ephesians 5:1-2. Therefore, Ephesians 5:1-2. Just taking good notes. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Pretty much all these points that we've gone through so far shows that gracelessness is a condition of the heart. Gracelessness is selective love. If as long as you fit what I embody, if, as long as you fit this norm, this cultural concept of normalcy, I'll rock with you. As long as you sit up in church on Sunday, I'll rock with you. But again, God has called us to love all people. God has called us to show grace to all people. If you can't do that, that's a you problem, and you need to take that to the altar. I don't know if I should put this on the radio or not. We're called to walk. Jesus died because He loved us, not out of obligation, because at any time He could have been like, tap out, I'm done, burn him. Why are you saying, Bishop, why are you saying burn them? The rainbow is a symbol of God's covenant. He will not destroy us with water, but He will destroy us with fire. You ain't know that? The rainbow is a covenant of God's promise that He will not destroy the world by water. But if you read Revelation, fire. Woo, 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 woo. We have to instead, Jesus, because of His overwhelming love for us, died on the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Even when He's being tempted by the devil, hey, jump off of here. You know the angels catch you. Garden of Gethsemane, if it be your will, please take this cup from me. Be it unto you according to your word. If we cannot show or exude that same love, how dare we call ourselves Christians? How dare we? That we're not Christians, that's not being a Christian, that's being a performer. 2 Timothy 2:14-19 and 24-26. I'm actually almost done. I'm about to get some emails. 2 Timothy 2:14-19. Then we're going to jump to 24-26. All right. It says this: remind them of these things. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to fight about words. This is useless and leads to the ruin of those who listen. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. Avoid irreverent and empty speech, since those who engage in it will produce even more godlessness, and their teaching will spread like gangrene. Hymenaeus and Philetus are among them. They have departed from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place and are ruining the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, bearing this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness. The Lord's servant must not quarrel, but must be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Then they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. My favorite scripture in the whole Bible is in that 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. My favorite scripture in the entire Bible. Actually, some students asked me about what, and I just told them I'll explain why. So I'm going to explain why to you. I initially thought about, like, you know, studying the word, like knowing the word and like teaching it correctly. But it's not just studying the word, but showing that you understand the wisdom of the word, meaning that you are living a life that shows that you are who you say you are. The Lord knows those who are his. So a part of being diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth, is walking in grace. Understanding the fullness of grace, that grace is a way of escape, but also grace in a way can be corrective. Because you're giving a person the opportunity to fix it, to deal with it, to dig into it. But walking around judging folk, but not being willing, because we'll talk about that in about 2 minutes, but not being willing to look, to examine yourself. But when I feel myself become a judge of judges, then I'll go, hold up, let me look at me. I'm messy too. Okay, you messy, I'm messy. But you know what? I know the person who can clean up the mess. Let me take it to him. That's why people don't want no parts of the church. That's why people don't want no parts. Your generation don't want zero parts. Zero parts. Because we're not exemplifying our walk by acting like him. The word Christian means of Christ, Christ-like. All right. We're going to end here. I took my sweet time today, y'all. Y'all still rocking with me? Online, y'all still rocking with me? All right. Remember, you have to be willing to deal with yourself. Work out your own self-salvation with fear and trembling. Deal with yourself to be able to extend grace. John 8:2-11. This is a familiar text from the Bible. John 8:2-11. At dawn, he went to the temple again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. Teacher, they said to him, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? They asked this to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, the one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her. Then he stooped down again and continued writing on the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman at the center. When Jesus stood up, he said to her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, Lord, she answered. Neither do I condemn you, said Jesus. Go from now on and do not sin anymore. People have been throwing, what's that saying? Those who have glass houses should not throw stones. Our house has been looking real glassy, real see-through. real fragile. But again, we as the body, especially now, y'all, especially let's just tell it like it is. The body of Christ, if we don't get our act together, rough days ahead. Because remember, like a year ago, I talked about the fact that if you want to be like you know, it makes no sense to me that the body of Christ wants to be persecuted. They're persecuting me. Oh no, girl, we in America. Calm down. But people, they're persecuting the church. No, they're not. But many people are calling persecution is the world going, hey, we need you to be the church again. But here we go, throwing stones, big old boulders. These men, watch this. These men were about to stone this woman for adultery. We can infer, because we know it takes two to tango, right? It takes two to tango. She about to get stoned for adultery, when we could probably infer that the man that she was with was probably standing in a crowd with a stone in his hand. Let's break it down even further. Men tend to hold women to a higher standard than they hold themselves. And I'm saying this as a man. Men, if you look throughout history, if a woman does something, like, you know, the concept of virginity, if a woman's virginity, if anybody defiles her, as we would say, she is cast aside, even if it's not her fault. But does anything happen to the man, typically? No. So let's look at this again. She's standing there, and she's probably not standing there looking glamorous. They probably ripped the clothes from off of her. She's probably standing there exposed and scared, and got all these men about to stone her, knowing good and daggone well it probably was more than one. Standing there with stones in their hands like they did nothing wrong. Or it might not have been with her, but it would have been with somebody. We don't know what Jesus wrote on the ground. All we know is Jesus wrote. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just because they sin ain't your sin doesn't mean you ain't sin. What Jesus did was exemplified what grace does. Grace and mercy, actually. Mercy saved her life. Grace gave her a second chance. But for grace and mercy to happen, those who had the stones in their hands had to look at themselves and go, yeah, you know, good and daggone well, I ain't right. Because they knew in their secret time, in their private time, they probably did something worse than she did, and they were afforded a worse punishment. But because no one saw their mess, because of their place in society, they would not receive the same punishment. So they have to take their earth balls, take the little stones, and go home. It's the same with us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's go to Matthew 1-5. Because we're going to break this down. Do not judge, Matthew 7:1-5. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others. And you'll be measured by the same measure you use. Why you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in your own eye. Hypocrite. First take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. So let's break down the actual meaning of the scripture. It's not about this whole, only God can judge me. Yes, God can judge you, but also God gives us a barometer to provide righteous judgments, which is called the word of God. And a righteous judgment is designed to point you back to the heart of God. So let me I really just want to make sure I make that clear. Because I know it's about to get deeper, profound up in this piece. If you are going to give a righteous judgment, you better make sure your heart is right first. And make sure God is telling you to say it, and not your proclivities, not your thoughts, and not culture. Because what happens is our own hatred, our own issues, our own pain block what God actually wants to do. So we're seeing people we're seeing people with spiritual glaucoma and astigmatism. While they're dealing with one thing and your vision is totally clouded, deal with your stuff. If you, plain and simple, I'm not going to say, dude, this is not a long, elaborate altar call. Sunday ain't enough of us here for that anyway. If you want to walk in the grace of God, deal with your stuff. As you deal with your stuff, God will humble you and show you how his grace has kept you in the midst of all the stuff that you might have been doing and stuff thinking or happening. So that way you can in turn turn around and show grace to the next person. So they can show grace. Because as they show grace, then can come the healing. Then can come the restoration. Then can come peace. That's part of the reason why people don't want to go to church. Because those of us who have been charged to give grace refuse to do it because we'd rather be right or feel right than take the opportunity to love someone where they are. So I'm going to close with this. Here at True Vision Christian Community, the days of gracelessness are over. The days of, well, this is such, it's over. We have seen too many people hurt because people started talking and people started saying stuff. And then they want to leave, or some will leave Christianity altogether. I know it's not just a thing here, it's a thing across churches, but this house today, it ends. If we are a culture of sharers and a place of equipping, we're also a place that we have to be a place of grace. We have to be a space of grace. That means we are helping people. That means a part of the process of equipping is helping dusting people off, picking them up, and helping them move forward. Because the moving forward might be the very thing that brings forth the healing. The moving forward might be the very thing that will help advance them into their walk with God and also advance them into their everyday life. I want to hear about somebody else's sin. It's not my concern. I don't want to hear it. Yes, there's sin in the camp. Yes, I know. Although we as those who are mature need to pray. And pray that person comes to a realization of healing. But in the meantime, you pray and you love them through it. I am not going to curse this house. Not doing it. I will not cause God's wrath to come upon this house because we have not allowed for this place to be a space of grace and healing. That's part of the reason why things have kind of broken down as they are right now, because we have to undo some things. This is the first major thing that needs to be undone. This is a place of grace and a place of healing. If that's not your bag, I love you. I love you, and I release you with the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God's grace is enough. God's mercy, God's loving kindness is enough. Grace will make it so that you will take responsibility for how you live your life to make sure that you are living in a way that pleases God. I'm not going to have to tell you, I don't have to preach another 15-week series. Grace, understanding that grace, that grace and mercy only go so far, grace and mercy should be enough to be like, let me make sure I'm aligning with God as best as I can. It's enough. God's grace is enough. So let's go and pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share the word that you've given me for me to share. Lord God, first of all, I pray against the spirit of offense in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray rather than people get offended, I pray that they dig into the word for themselves. And I pray that you speak to their spirits in the name of Jesus. That you speak to their hearts right now, wherever they are, and begin to show them when your grace and mercy came through their lives in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray right now that as we prepare for a season of growth and rebuilding and healing, that you show us how to show grace. You show us how to keep our mouth shut about people's situations and instead open our arms and love them where they are and help them and help pull them up. Teach us how to equip people to do every good work of the kingdom, how to walk in maturity and in love. Teach us how to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ for real and not just because it looks good as a good tagline. God, I know this word is a hard pill to swallow for many people. God, I know this word is the antithesis of many people's theological stances. But Lord God, I know this word is from you because you have backed it up by your scripture. So Lord God, I pray for every single person who is under my covering and under the sound of my voice. Lord God, I pray that you minister to our hearts to give us grace. Lord God, show us where we need to forgive people. Show us where we need grace extended to us. And we will give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.